All right, well, we're going to go ahead and start the training or presentation on understanding children with ADHD. Of course, I'm Connie James. You guys here know me. Some of the ones on should know me too, I hope. If not, I am the educational advocate. I am the associate director slash lead trainer, and I am the program director for CPRC. So we are going to start learning a little bit today about ADHD. I have submitted some facts we can go over also that I found was quite interesting. I wanted to start off with this picture of this brain full of words, and this is the mind pretty much of a child who or adult who has ADHD. Tons of things in it. Try to figure out what's what, where's where. If you can't imagine what their brain looks like, try to imagine it something like this. Now, Mission Empower, we, of course, our executive director is Darlene Brown. We are a parent center that serves the community as a resource center, but also provides advocacy, education, and the promotion of empowerment, assisting underserved families and their children with disabilities to enable their children to use their gifts and talents to reach their potential and become productive members of our community. That is our main focus here at Mission Empower. If you don't know what we're doing here, basically what we're doing is trying to help the community out and do everything we can in every which way, shape, and form. We want to educate, engage, and empower you. So hopefully this presentation will help you understand your child or a child with ADHD, but also do education educate you about ADHD. The first thing that people should know is ADHD, which is also called attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, is a neural developmental disorder. That means it stems from the brain. It affects focus, impulse control, activity levels. And this condition that can cause risk factors or contributing factors that can affect individuals at different times in life and different days in different ways. One of the things that people think is whatever you show when you're young is what you're going to have the rest of your life. That is not true. As you grow, the activity change, the way that you look at things, the way you focus can all change. So maybe a child who has ADHD can focus really good at a young age, and as they get older, their focus becomes worse. There's three different types. There's inattentive, hyperactive, impulsive, and combined. The difference is the inattentive type has difficulty sustaining attention, easily distracted, forgetful, often loses things, trouble following through tasks. That is what people usually consider someone who has ADHD because those are usually the first things that you notice. You ask them to do a chore at home, they're not doing it. You can't figure out why they didn't do it. You told them three times, they forgot all about it. They're constantly saying, "Where's this? Where's that? I can't find my book. I can't find my backpack. I can't find my coat. I can't find my shoes." Now, normally most kids do say those things, but when you put it all together, and then on top of that, you notice they're easily distracted. I've sat in a car before with my son who has ADHD, and I think we started about 10 different conversations because every time we'd start one, all of a sudden he'd think of something else that was going on in his mind. Hyperactive impulse type, fidgeting, restless, interrupting others, active when thinking, difficulty waiting their turn. These children normally are known for fidgeting around in their seats, can't get up, can't watch TV. You'll find, I found out, a lot of them can't actually watch a movie. Expecting them to watch a 2-hour movie, even if it's their favorite subject, their favorite thing in the world, they still can't do. My son will last through watching probably about a half an hour is about the max he can do. And normally he has to fidget on his phone while he's doing it, get up and go get a drink or go potty during that time. So it's extremely common that they don't want to stay still. They tend to not have patience. Again, we're talking about being distracted, they interrupt others. They don't know how to wait. They don't have patience. They want to get their thought out while they have it because they know they're probably going to lose it very soon. They suddenly have what we like to call impulse control. When something pops in their head, they think it and they do it. They don't take the time to think things through because their mind's racing, like we said at the puzzle. All these different things are in their head. And when they have it and something pops up, they want to do it right then and there, which is again why sometimes they tend to be have a tendency of losing things and not staying on task, is because they just got up and walked away from something that they were doing. My son, one time, this is so funny, I swear he's gonna get mad when he finds out I'm telling these stories. He turned around and one time made himself a whole bowl of cereal, went into the bathroom to go to the bathroom, went into his room. A little while later, I came out. I said, my son's name. I said, you gonna eat? He goes, oh, shoot, I forgot all about making myself a bowl. I was wondering why I was sitting here hungry trying to figure out what I was gonna eat. They just lose track. He got distracted. Difficulty waiting their turn. Same thing. They just wanna hurry up and do what they wanna do. They don't wanna wait. Now, ADHD in children. Some of the symptoms can impact school. We all know that because most children have ADHD, have an IEP or a 504. They have issues with grades. Their teachers are telling them, I just can't get them to do their work. A lot of things like that. They're acting up, they're running around the room, especially at the younger age. They also have challenges with organization, completing tasks, and controlling their emotions. One of the reasons why they can't organize is because their mind can't focus. Just like we said at the beginning, they can't focus. Task completion. Well, a lot of times that would take patience. To stay on task takes a lot of patience. This is something they don't have. It's very hard for them to learn it. And emotional regulation, if your brain is going every which way and every which thing, you can't control your emotions when they pop up either because they're getting jumbled by all those other thoughts that are going on in your head. And they don't understand themselves. They get mad at themselves. They don't understand why can't I do my work? Why am I always getting in trouble? Why am I always getting told I don't listen? These things are frustrating and it causes emotional issues. And they can coexist with other conditions. You can have anxiety, learning disabilities, all those things, and still have ADHD mixed in with them. Now, examples or learning of learning challenges. And I am sorry, the top of the screen is covered, so you can't see, but I handed out pamphlets that show what this is. Unfortunately, because I can't see it, there it is. Attention issues. Struggle to stay focused on lessons. Easily distracted when noise can come in. Can you imagine sitting there reading a book and somebody comes in and slams the door? You're suddenly going to jolt. But to these kids, it can be simply as somebody just moved their chair beside them, or the teacher got up from her desk. Those kind of things are very destruction or very distractive to them, so they can't stay focused. My teachers once told me my son would be talking to him and all of a sudden talking about the tissue box that was on their desk and then the flowers that are on the windowsill. While they're having a conversation about what they were supposed to be doing. And then he started talking about what he did that weekend. They just cannot stay on task. They're very easily distracted. Following instructions. Difficulty processing multi-step instructions, often forgetting key steps. As an advocate too, I tend to help parents understand one of the things that can help with this right here. Multi-step directions. Is if we can break it down to one step at a time. If you have a kid at home and you are trying to get them to get their chores done, I walk into my son's room when he was younger and it would be a mess. And I'd say, can you please pick up all your clothes off the floor and put them in the hamper? And then I would walk away. A little bit later, I'd come back and if I had to redirect them, I redirected them to finish because sometimes they can't stay on task. Then I would come back later, it would be done, and I'd say, okay. Can you please straighten up your bed? And then I'd step away. come back a little later, see if it's been done. If he stopped, got it done, then I'll think of something else he needs done. Step-by-step instructions. I'm not overwhelming him by telling him everything at once. So that helps out too, because then they don't have that negative vibe in their head that they just can't get it right. Impulsive responses. A lot of people tell that they raise your hand. Remember in class, you're always told, raise your hand. These are the kids that when they know the answer and they actually know it, they get excited and they have to say it. They don't want to stop and raise their hand and wait for their turn. They just can't do that. And they have, like I said, difficulty waiting their turn to speak. Reading and writing difficulties. This is a big one. They can't organize their thoughts. So they want to skip while they're reading. And then they're not comprehending what they're reading because their mind is almost like distracted while they're reading, thinking of other things also. When they're writing, they can't remember what they started writing. If you're writing a paragraph and you start off with a sentence that starts off with the meaning of the paragraph, then they have to go back and think of their thoughts again. What was I thinking? What was I doing? And even spelling can be hard because that's a lot of memory that when your mind's going all over the place, you can't focus on exactly how those words were spelled. So a lot of this has to deal with just those beginning core points that we brought up. Time management. Well, unfortunately, I think a lot of us have time management, but these kids struggle even more because they have no idea how long tasks will take. So they tend to, if there's a test going on, they think this test is going to take hours. It could be a 15-minute test, but to them, it's going to take hours. They have no idea what the time is going to take them. They have 10 questions on their paper. That's like looking at 100 in their mind. That's how far their mind sees that it's going to take them to get that little bit done. And they'll zoom right through and write down the wrong answers because they just want to hurry up and get it done. They just want to know it's passed. They get a lot of anxiety with this. They get stressed. They're worried. They're not going to be able to focus. They just want to hurry up and get it done and over with. Their behavior really shows when you have ADHD. They have emotional sensitivity and frustration. Like I said, they turn around and get frustrated very easily because they can't comprehend what is going on. Why do I have such a hard time? Why is everybody yelling at me? Why is the teachers keep telling me to do this and do that? I'm trying to do it. How come everybody else hasn't done it? This is a lot of emotional issues and sensitivity. They have difficulty with transitions. A lot of the reason they have difficulty is because it's kind of like, especially to an adult, when you're driving home from work, you go the same route every day. Sometimes you get home and go, oh, wow, I hope I didn't run a red light, because you were thinking of something else the whole way home and you really weren't focused. So when these children have a daily schedule and you keep them on that daily schedule, now all of a sudden you're going to change it up. Maybe there's a parade that day at school. Maybe a fire alarm's going to go off and they have fire practice. Maybe it's a late snow day. And because they went in 2 hours late, they're off their schedule. All these type of things, even a substitute teacher, those kind of things can make it very hard for them to focus because they can't comprehend in time how they're supposed to handle things. And they don't understand, so they just kind of react. They can't control it. They have impulse issues. And then, of course, one of the biggest things I notice is lack of the risk of low self-esteem due to frequent corrections. I don't know how many times that every parent who has a child who has ADHD has said, how many times do I have to ask you? Biggest words. Teachers, how many times have I told you what to do? These kind of things are what every parent or every teacher that has a child with ADHD has said or done. And the reason is because they don't get this child doesn't mean to do it. And a lot of times, that child isn't diagnosed yet. Anyone who has a child with ADHD, the first few years, you don't even know they have it. So you're just trying to figure out why. Yeah, Michelle.
So Sarah and I, about a month ago, we went to a seminar. would have said that on the plane. And they talked about ADHD. And they said that ADHD kids, their cognitive, executive functioning level is so if they're 14 years old, their executive functioning level is like 12 years old. They're 17, their executive functioning level is around 14 years old. So, yeah. So that goes along with they're when you're requesting them to do something, it's not,
Well, yeah, because they're not at that. It's almost like not saying maturity level, but their functioning level is not at the same level you're thinking they're at by this age.
they should be.
Yeah, they normally would be able, any other child their age, you would think should be able to do this. Why can't
So
you?
they're 10 years old and you're asking them to clean their room.
Yeah, they're like an 8-year-old. You can't get an 8-year-old to clean your room out very well, at least not unless you do what we do and the step-by-step process.
One of the reasons I'm here tonight is because my son, huge sibling troubles, is he's finishing up another grade in 5 weeks. So I'm like, you have 1 year to do. And I'm watching this and just going, well, actually, since that seminar, I've been going on the show. That's why I'm here tonight, to learn all this.
And you know what? I tell my parents, I always love them to get the help and the resources at the youngest age possible, but at any age, it's better than none at all. I mean, any kind of help, and there's so much help. I have resources that will show you, even for parents that have ADHD, and how to look at how to help with that, how to get therapy for that. So that kind of stuff is really important, even though tonight I'm focusing on children. I do have resources that can lead you into when they're adults and stuff like that, and where they can get therapy, and where, as parents, we can get therapy to help our children too. So again, with the risk of low self-esteem, one of the things that I do, at least I learned, especially once I realized what ADHD was with my child, was I learned that to counteract the constantly requesting when they get it done, I'm appreciative. I'm thanking them. I'm not saying, oh, it only took you 20 times. No. Unfortunately, before we know they have ADHD and understand it, we probably said that. But I focus on reaffirming they did the task, they completed it, you did a wonderful job. Or I'll go in my son's room after he's cleaned it and I'll be like, wow, this room looks really clean. Do you need any shelves or anything to put in here to help keep it this way? What do you need? Do you need our clothes basket? I try to see what his mind, when he sees clean, what might assist him in organizing, because they can't organize very well. So, sometimes you look at it and you say, oh, geez, how hard is it to put clothes in a basket? But to them, it is. It is hard because then the basket gets full. And as they get older, what happens when the basket's full? You got to wash the laundry. Now, even if they're younger, mom and dad are washing their laundry to a certain age, then all of a sudden we give them the clothes. Now they need to put them away. There we go again with organization. To us, it's easy. But to them, they can't see organization like we do. They see a mess in front of them and they're just going to shove it wherever they can put it at. And we're going to go, why is this wrinkly? It was folded. Or where's that shirt? I don't know. It's somewhere in there. It's just the way they cannot organize. And when without the assistance of us reaffirming them and going in and redirecting them, then they're never going to learn some kind of organization system. I think the way that I've gotten my son through the step-by-step process, and I use the exact same step-by-step process. It's always clean your clothes, put your clothes in the basket first. It's always, now he's a teenager, so it's the wonderful, get the dishes out of your room. Now that one takes quite a few times. And then he still doesn't get them. I always go, there's still no fork. There are medications, and I want to tell you a I do not tell people to definitely, if your child has ADHD, put them on a medication. I am not here to tell you that. But I will let you know that most children, if medicated by a doctor in the correct manner at a low dose, working up, trying different, and the parents are right on track of paying attention to the side effects, can standardly finally get their kid on something that can help them in school. That doesn't mean it works for everybody. These children are not a box. We're not going to fit them into one. But there are different ones. There are stimulants. There are non-stimulants. Just depends on the activity of the child. Sometimes one will work over the other. One of the things you have to watch with that, though, and I always put, I do have another slide that says about side effects. But one of the purpose that I even did try medication with my son was focus. That was the biggest one. He was struggling in school, couldn't get his grades. So if I could at least get him on some kind of mild dose medication that didn't have huge side effects, that could help him improve his focus so he could pay attention in class, I was content with that. We're not expecting the ADHD to disappear. What we're trying to do is focus on managing so he can get an education, so they can enjoy their life a little bit. But they don't have to be doped up on drugs where they're, I've seen children that are on some medication that they're an emotional wreck. They're screaming and crying in a corner. They can't focus. My son said one time when we had him on, I don't think it was for ADHD though. He was on a medication and he said to me, I said, wow, you're doing really good lately. You've been so well behaved, because he had ODD also, has ODD also. I'm like, you're doing so great. And he's like, I know, mom, you've been telling me that. And I said, well, how are you feeling? My head feels like it's gonna blow. Like, okay, we're not taking that medicine anymore. So you really got to pay attention to the side effects and listen to your kid and ask them to make sure. But most medications do help improve focus. Now, we're not a cure. There is no cure for ADHD. But they can control them a little bit so the child can manage. But you really have to monitor and watch adjustments. This also means, like I was saying, to definitely talk to your kids, speak with them, how they're feeling, notice their behavior changes and stuff, and discuss everything with a healthcare provider. They can up, they can down the dosage, or they can try a new medication. It is definitely not worth having your child focus in school if your child's going to turn around and beat their head and cry in their room all night long. Now, we have visual and non-visual side effects of medication. That goes with any medication, but I'm going to list the ADHD one. Okay, decreased appetite. We notice our kid is not eating as much as they usually do. Now, that is standard, but just make sure that they're eating at least a moderate, healthy amount during the day, or adjust them a little bit to maybe something that has a little bit more sugar because they're not having enough, or maybe something that's a little healthier choice for a snack. Things you can do to venture. Balance it through the day. Which, of course, if we're not eating as much, we're going to lose some weight. That's one of the reasons why doctors like you to physically come into a doctor's office when you're on these medications to keep a balance of how much weight you've been losing, because we don't want these children to lose so much weight they're unhealthy. And then increased heart rate. Racing heart rate is a big side effect for a lot of these medications. Your child feels like it just. They say something to you like, my heart feels like it's going to jump out of me, or I can't stop and catch my breath. These are reasons to go to your doctor, take them off the medication. Non-visual side effects. Mood swings, irritability. Okay, if we're talking about teenagers, we're going to see that anyways, but more than usual. So suddenly your kid went from coming home from school and going, oh, to coming home. I hate this school. I'm never going back there again. On a daily basis, we've got an issue. Or if they're irritable, they went from when you tell them it's bedtime to, oh, to all of a sudden now, why do I have to go to bed? I don't want to go to bed. I don't want to go to bed. I'm not tired. This is, again, irritability is very concerning. Anxiety or nervousness. If they seem like they can't focus out of the school environment. You take them to a store and they're nervous to be around a bunch of people all of a sudden. Or they don't feel like hanging out with their friends all of a sudden. And you know there hasn't been any fights or anything with their friends. Or maybe they just don't want to go to family get-togethers all of a sudden. These are usually side effects of medication. And a standard side effect of any medication is usually headache. You have to watch for headaches. You also have to watch for fatigue. Some of these medicines are overstimulating. And if they get, or understimulating, sorry, if they get not enough stimulants in them, they tend to want to sleep a lot. They want to lay down a lot. If you've got a kid who usually goes out, throws the ball, or goes plays basketball in the neighborhood, and suddenly they don't have the energy to do that anymore, and they're on a new medication, that's a concern. One of the things that can really help out, and this is what I was pretty much talking about, making a routine and clear expectations. If you want your child to clean the house, say it's summertime, your child is, well, 13, 14 years old, and you need them to pick up the house a little bit while you're at work during the summer. If you set up some kind of a chore chart that helps them out so that they know what their expectations of you is. What I used to do to my children, which I did to all of them, it had nothing to do with ADHD, is I had a list and it had three groups. I said, there are snacks in this cupboard. If you want a snack that's in this cupboard, you need to do a chore on the list. You need to pick one from A, and then once you've done one from A, you need to go to B and pick something from B. And for the third snack, something from C. Those kind of things help with expectations, fast rewards, break it up, give them a choice what they have to do. If you have a chart and you have see what you can get done today, please get to, and then you underline a spot and say, please try to get at least this done today. If you come home and your child doesn't have that done, but they've done everything but maybe one item, then you know that you've got to kind of watch what level of expectations you have on them. Like I said, use visual, break tasks in a smaller steps. Maybe your visual is take the dishes out of the dishwasher. And then your next chore, rinse the dishes and put them in the dishwasher. And then the next chore, rinse the sink, turn on the dishwasher. Break it up, nice and easy steps. Like I said, cleaning their room. Younger kids, one of the things that we have focused on the most is routines for cleanliness, getting used to brushing your teeth, learning how to dress yourself, learning when it's time to go to bed. Sometimes kids need that structure, and you can either set a list. A lot of people will do a clock. I've seen it done before. They put a clock, and at certain months, they have pictures of TV, bed, school, lunch, dinner. You know, all those things are on the clock. And those kind of things can help, or you can do a chart where you have pictures so they see. You can put times. I actually just had a meeting today where a child who had a hard time controlling her focus. One of the things is that when she wanted to do something, the parent would point at the clock and say, "You know, not until 6 o'clock." And she would point and go over to the clock and look at the clock and see it said 5 o'clock, and she'd be in 1 hour and walk away. But those are things now the school's going to use that for helping her through the day, where she can learn to this time is when we transition to this and so forth. So all these types of charts, times, all those kind of things can help. And the biggest thing, like I said, make sure you use positive reinforcement. Completing one simple task deserves reinforcement. If you come home and three out of the four tasks are done, yet I'm so happy. Wow, you got the dishwasher unloaded and reloaded and the sink's done. You know what? You didn't get that laundry. That's okay. Let's sit down and get that done. Reinforce them with positive. Let them know it's okay what they didn't get done. Encouraged to help them finish what they didn't get done, unless it's something they should do independently. Reinforcing, checking on through the day. I kind of get in trouble for this because I check on through the day a little too much, but my son is 18. It's time for him to start getting used to that. I'll be like, he'll come to me and say something like, well, did you take the garbage out? Not yet. After I eat, after I do this. And then he forgets again. So the next time he comes out, I'll go, did you take the garbage out? And he'll go, no. I'll say, could you please take the garbage out right now so I can stop asking you to take the garbage out? I don't want to bug you like this, but I know that you forget, and I understand that. I'm not jumping down your throat to do it. I'm reminding you. But I get tired of reminding you just as much as you get tired of being reminded. So sometimes that little bit of a, I understand you have an issue, but because of this issue, let's just jump on this now so that that forgetfulness and all that stuff is not as big of an issue. Trust me, my son doesn't have very many chores, so I have no problem with it. For older children, a combination of behavior therapy and medication. So I said that behavior therapy really helps out with the older children because a lot of children that get to the point where they're older with ADHD, they are struggling with how to handle themselves. They don't want to look stupid in class. They feel like they're being bullied because they're forgetting things and kids are picking on them for it. Oh, did you forget you're supposed to have football practice today again? Oh, you forget we were going to go do this after school and you forgot. These parents of them don't mean to, but they don't know this stuff and they tend to pick on them. And that can cause a lot of behavior issues and impulse control. So the combination of behavior therapy would help them with that, along with medication, to kind of keep them on the same even plane across the board. Let's attack this straight on instead of one part at a time. Under the age of six, behavior therapy is the best thing that they should do. We don't like to have children under the age of 6 years old on medication unless it's life required. So most doctors won't even suggest it. And if they do, and I've seen it done, I've seen the bad side effects from that. I definitely would support, but can't say I'm a not a doctor to say so. I support behavior therapy to try first. And then parents, training and behavior management. We ourselves are partially at fault for some of the things our poor kids go through because we're human. We make mistakes. We don't understand. And it's not our fault because look at it this way. Until you came today, you might not have known some of these things. We're learning. We're learning as we go. Sometimes going to parent training and behavior management helps you learn how to help your child at home. This is not a way of saying you're a bad parent and you need fixed. This is a way of saying, let me help you help your child. So parent behavior therapy is not a bad thing. They just help you learn how to help your child the best, how to support them, and how to give them more of a positive outlook on life instead of looking like, hey, this is the rest of my life and I'm not happy. When they go to our training in behavior therapy, they learn positive communication, positive reinforcement, structure, discipline, kind of a lot of the things that we were discussing, but more in depth. Positive communication. How do I communicate with my child without making it feel like I'm jumping down their throat all the time? Positive reinforcement. Obviously, make sure you're praising your child all the time, but this will give you better chances of how to do it. Structure and discipline. I can't say enough that having a routine and doing your best to keep them on that routine and I don't want to say I don't care. That's the wrong way of looking at it. I don't think having a disability means you're beyond discipline because we all need discipline in life to realize that there are consequences for our actions. But learning when to discipline and how to discipline a child, because you got to make sure, not any child, a child with ADHD. Because you got to make sure that you're not disciplining them for the disability, you're disciplining them for a bad choice. My son makes a bad choice and goes out and gets in trouble. I don't want to hear, oh, it was my ADHD. Yeah, not going to work. Now, my child comes home with a test of like 100 questions and they got an F, then I'm going to be more understanding that this could probably be the result of his ADHD. What can we do? Can we retest? Can we try to block, break it into sections and test different times? What can we do to work with the school to try to fix this? So these are the kind of things that you can definitely learn from going to some kind of trained behavior therapy as a parent. As you see on this, I got this from Vital Signs from the CDC. That is one place you can go and look for. The CDC has wonderful resources for finding out about how to help children with ADHD and therapy. So there's another one called Chat, but I'll give you that later. And this is another one. The therapist meets regularly with the family and to monitor progress and provide support. Between sessions, parents are practice using the skill they've learned from the therapist. So it goes back and forth. It's like a cycle. First, you get told, have any of you ever watched Super Nanny? I think it's called.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Super Nanny. She comes in, she observes. She gives some instruction on what and gives them some ideas. And then what's she do? She leaves. And then she watches and sees how they did, what worked, what didn't work. And then she comes in and corrects it, helps them along with it. And when she leaves, everything's good. It's almost the same thing. The therapist is going to help work, then they're going to monitor how things go. You come back and say, hey, we tried this and this didn't do no good, but this and this did great. They're going to try to give you more resources, more ideas, different plans, different strategies. Try again. And they don't want you to stop coming until everything is running smoothly in your home. And that stupid thing on the top popped up again. It's blocked what I'm saying. Okay, supporting a child at with ADHD at school. Now, I'm not just saying this because I'm hoping professionals are watching. I'm saying this because parents need to know these are things that you can request on an IEP if you find it, or 504, if you find a problem, your child is struggling at school and they have ADHD. Preferential seating away from distractions. A lot of times when a child has ADHD, the parents will be asked to put the child in the front of the room. The reason is if they're sitting in the back of the room, all the rest of the students in the class are distractions. But if they're sitting in the front of the room, the chances of them being distracted are a lot less. It might be just the teacher beside them or a student beside them, and there's less chances. Extra time for tasks and tests. One of the reasons we ask for extra time is not because they're incapable of doing it, because of that focus, because they can't stay on tasks. So sometimes they need to go back and continue maybe at home. Maybe in a study hall or whatever they call them nowadays. I'm so out of tune with what they call those classes. But there's times when they have help and they can work on that work together, work on it at home, work on it during the weekend, or retake a test or continue a test. Yes.
When my son was in elementary, he had trouble with reading. He talked sentences and he got down to the second line of the sentence and didn't know what he was, So, one of the things when I talked about that in the IEP meeting, we agreed that somebody, first of all, he was put in a different room with some other kids and had engaged with some of those other walks. Kids in that room.
Yes.
And it was unfortunately different, so, but the one thing my son needed was to this day reading to reading. And what I see on there that we can't focus on, it's going all over. When he was in elementary, somebody would read the questions to him. And made all the humans. To me, that was like, are you serious? But it did.
They kind of simple. When they're reading it out, they have three different focuses going on. You have your mind, your eyes, and then usually if you notice it's a little bit of your mouth. So your focus is on those senses. you're not focusing on what's actually being read.
Right.
So because of that, but when someone reads it, it's quicker, it's easier. It's actually like a brain break because the effort they have to put in to read that paragraph or read those sentences versus having someone read it causes their brain to relax and absorb a little bit quicker, and then they get a chance to look at that answer. That is one of the things that we always encourage is read out, whether it's reading questions out loud, which a lot of teachers now will do that during tests. They'll just read the questions out loud. That way it helps any students that need that. Reading stories, there is actual readout software that can be put on a computer. Nowadays, they all have some kind of Chrome or something they're doing their work on. Those tablets or Chromes can have software, but that'll read it out. The only time they will not allow them to use that is if they're testing for their actual reading fluency and that kind of comprehension, they won't. But if it's just on comprehension, they usually will. But if they're trying to get their reading level, their reading fluency and stuff, they can't because then they can't judge their reading by actual reading work. Movement and breaks for kids. I will tell you what, one of the things I love nowadays, every single elementary school I have gone to makes a big deal that they have movement time. It has nothing to do with ADHD. They're children, they need to move. So they have a lot of times, I have had teachers tell me that they have like three or four times during their day that they just get up and do movement, dances, jumping jacks, run in place. And then as they get a little bit older, they become where they give them that stand up, stretch your body out. Or maybe they need a bathroom break. You can request what we call break cards, where you can turn around and ask for a break whenever you need it. Right. Or they can turn around and ask things to be clear, specific. Don't beat around the bush and make it complicated. Even us in this office trying to figure out stuff. The simpler it is, the easier to understand, the quicker you can get the work done. Don't make it harder than it has to be. Especially with them and their brains, the way they work. Teach self-regulation strategies. Breathing. Focusing. Trying to calm yourself and learn patience is very hard for them, but they can do it. I mean, we can all learn patience no matter how bad we are at it, just by breathing and taking our time. It causes faster mindset of growth, and it can support communication. Working with your child on any of these things helps communicating with your child and giving your child a chance to communicate with you. You can use websites, chat. Chat is one of the ones that I have actually just started researching in. I really like Chad too. Chad is another one besides CDC. It's Chad with two Ds. They are really good at getting you resources. They also have referrals to where you can go to get therapy too. So there are many different things, very good at explaining things in a way that anyone and everyone can understand it. There are books and articles for parents and educators. Not that too many people actually pick up books nowadays. We all look on our phone and read. But either way you did it, there are articles. You can Google it, look it up. It wasn't hard for me to do it. It wasn't hard at all. I could find resources. The biggest part is pay attention to the source. Make sure it's a source that you know is reliable. I'm letting you know that what I've read about Chad, I would refer Chad. The CDC, I would refer them. I would refer any of the people that I put on this site, and you'll see a list of them at the end, and it should be on your printout that you received. And if anybody on Zoom would like to see a copy of any of these PowerPoints or anything that I'm discussing, please let me know, and I will do my best to email to you if you give me an email. These are the list of the resources that I have looked into. These lists are ones that I would say. And a lot of you have probably heard. I would say that if you want to look up resources on different disabilities, not just ADHD, though Chad does focus towards ADHD, because it is about children and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. But a lot of the other ones focus on all different types of disabilities that these children have. Please feel free to look into these sites. I feel they're comfortable. We did research on them before we wanted to use them. These are where I got all my resources from. Any questions? What causes it? They actually do not know for sure. I actually have a little fact sheet that I'd like to go over, and it'll kind of give you a little bit of information. One of them is, let me find one that has to do with that. Here's a myth. ADHD is caused by bad parenting. Completely false. ADHD is caused by brain differences and genetics. Nothing to do with parenting. Parenting doesn't cause ADHD, but it can affect how a child copes with it. So supportive and consistent parenting can help manage ADHD. See, what's another one? ADHD isn't a real disorder. No, it's completely false. ADHD is a real medical condition. It was first described in 1700s, and thousands of scientific studies confirm on that affects that it affects how the brain works. ADHD only affects children. That is false. ADHD is a lifelong condition for many.
True.
While some children outgrow their symptoms, more than half continue to experience the challenges as teens and adults. Girls with ADHD are also at higher risk for things like depression and self-harm later in life. Because of the correction, because of feeling like they can't accomplish things, because the way their mind is and the bottling. When I showed a picture to my son about that brain covered with words, he looked at me and goes, "You got it, Mom. That's my brain all the time." And I couldn't believe it. That's the reason why I use that, because that's what this describes what he goes through. ADHD is over-diagnosed.
Probably not. I doubt.
That is a myth. The truth is, the rise in diagnosis is due to better awareness and improved tools, not over-diagnosis. Most children diagnosed with ADHD are carefully evaluated by healthcare providers who follow medical guidelines. And there are testing, though they will tell you there is no definitive test that can detect ADHD, but it can definitely pinpoint that that's most likely it. Question I've had brought to me a few times. What's the difference between ADD and ADHD? Well, ADD is attention deficit disorder. ADHD is attention deficit hyperactive disorder. And the difference is basically, I want to say it's not so much if they're hyper or not, because they tend to show more hyper-like activity. They tend to fidget more in their seat. Their hands kind of want to keep going. But honestly, there's not a lot of difference. In fact, some people, when you go to IEP meetings, schools will look at them almost the same because they basically have the same issues going on. Maybe they don't fidget in their seat as much, but that's about it. Other than that, they can't focus, they can't stay on task. They still struggle with ADD as they do with ADHD.
My son has had over the years. He's had teachers who literally give him fidget toys. They have fidget toys in their room for when they recognize kids that can't sit there.
They actually, a lot of classrooms offer out fidgets in every single room all the way up to high school. And in high school, it can be in their IEP or 504 to have a fidget.
Because of my son having ADHD. His outlet is jarring and going. They let him, when he was younger, he used to get almost reprimanded for doing stupid.
Yeah.
But now his teachers just let him do it.
The work he does is cool.
And not even let him do it because they notice that when he does it, he's able to concentrate. So when he does it on his iPad, he does it on papers that he turns in, and they realize that when he does it, he's able to work in the information while he's.
He learns how to teach his mind to focus on the drawing so he can pay attention to what he's scared of.
Yep, so the teachers don't think about him.
No, it's a neurological thing. It just happens in the brain. I think it's more of a development pattern. One of the reasons, one part here, and it says, how is ADHD diagnosed? Like I said, there's no single test. The proper diagnosis includes talking about behavior at home, including other crossing mothers here, and working on the personal experience shows some behavior at work. We have something brain-based condition. It has nothing to do with, now, what causes it? I don't know. I don't want to say I did not see anything that states there's something a woman does while she's pregnant that can cause it. There's a food that can cause it. The medicine that a mother is on when she's before she gets pregnant. I don't know. There's nothing that definitively states what causes it. I've been a mixture of just radical situations that come together. No, it's ADHD combined with something else. ADHD actually does, like we said on the one slide, the symptoms of ADHD also refer, you can find them in children with autism. One of the things they'll say is that my child has ADHD and autism. And I'm not saying that's wrong, but one of the symptoms of autism is all those signs that ADHD has. So it's kind of like you can say autism isn't it is an ADHD because it's autism, but at the same time it could be. So they say in both ways, they say it ADHD and autism, but standardly children who are autistic do show symptoms of ADHD. I've had a lot of parents say to me, my child has autism, but I don't know because they show signs of the ADHD. And I'm like, well, they could have both. Or it could be just part of autism is ADHD. A lot of that, again, autism is starts where? Autism's in the brain. And ADHD is in the neurological path. So we're talking about the same type of brain control. Is the it's in the brain. It's not something that you could do. It's not something you can cause. There are things like I've heard, and I actually am guilty of stopping a pregnant mother from taking Tylenol because I heard now they're saying that Tylenol would be the cause of all. Yes. But that's just something you hear on the tabloids and you hear all these things. There are no facts to what caused it. Nothing I've read or researched has any diagnosis of what can cause on ADHD, and I have not heard any definitive. And I mean, you could ask a medical, but what I've been told and seen, I can't find any reason that I would think anything can cause. Like I said, you hear these things and you just don't know. All right, I think I covered most of what I wanted to go through. Does anybody have any questions?
But it has to be a stroke. Yeah. All the way down. I do know before Ethan got on, like he was really. I was very and my son is on medicine, and there is a difference when he gets up in the morning. At least his therapist, he's different than
Those of you that are on Zoom, we're inserting a survey into the chat. If you could please take a few minutes to fill that out, or at least click on it to fill out before we end the Zoom, so that I can see how I did and we can get it, because grants are what pays for us to be able to get this information and get it out to you. And one of the things we need for our grants is these surveys. So please fill them out and submit them, and that would be great. If for some reason you have any problems with it, send me an email and I will be able to send it to you. Or even the fact sheet or the resource for this, please contact me through email. If you do not know the email that I have, then you can look at missionempower.org. And I am listed in there, but my email is CONKAMES at missionempower.org. Or you can call our office to request these resources at 814. 825-0788. And if there's nothing else, then I am going to go ahead and I want to double check that that's going to put on. Question on the chat, so I'm going to have to take attention to. One of the parents, I'm hoping I put on this correctly, wanted to know what happens if your child does not want to do the chores? Basically, is it okay to, what do? Can you punish them? Is it all right to? I would say if your child is literally downright refusing to do your chores, I do not think that is directly ADHD causing that. I feel that might be more of a ODD, which is opposite. Okay, let me see if I can get this right. Oppositional defiant disorder. It might be directly something that you want to speak to your child's physician about, that you're starting to have a problem, especially if this is something that is also happening in school with refusing to do work. It also could be an emotional thing. You could try some positive reinforcements. Sometimes those help with reward systems. And I'm not talking about I'll go buy you a brand new bike. I'm talking about, hey, you want to go to see that football game this weekend? I need you to get this chore done to do it. Or, hey, you want me to go to the store and get you these special candies? And that's fine, I'll do it. But I need you to do the chores if you need me to do something. A lot of times you can remind the child that a chore for you is cooking their dinner, and all you're doing is asking them to do this chore so they can eat that food. You're not refusing to give them the food. You're just reminding them that we all have chores to do. And that's part of being a child and a parent, is to help each other by doing chores. But if your child is really struggling and they have ADHD and they're just downright refusing to do work, I think you might want to talk to them and talk to your physician about whether there's another issue underlying going on besides just ADHD. And let me double check that there's no other questions. Thank you very much.